We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. It is Marks and Reese. I am John Marks. He is Ike Reese. Ike.
What's up, Johnny Marks? Holla at your boy.
And it is today is if I don't it's not a hump day. It's a
Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday. It's tough to get up for.
That was good energy. I like this. That's where I need you to be. Good.
Excuse me.
Well, I mean, I may be there by Friday.
Yeah, usually.
Certainly, hopefully, I'm there by Sunday. I will be there by Sunday.
So Wednesday is normally when, during the course of your football week, when you lose the game. Monday, don't talk to me. Tuesday, you're still angry. Wednesday, you're starting to get over it. Thursday, all right. Friday, you're focused on the next game. So we're here on Wednesday or a Wednesday. And so, like, I look at Sunday's game, and we know the offensive line wasn't good. Everybody knows the offensive line wasn't good, but it wasn't just the offensive line. It was also the quarterback, and it was also the head coach. I think everybody would agree that the head coach had a bad game, and the quarterback had a bad game, right? So, with that said, and knowing that, going forward, who are you more concerned about for the rest of this season? Is it Doug? Is it Carson Wentz? And I'll just give you my opinion. Leading off, I still feel like that this is a season that's certainly salvageable. So I'm not saying that this is going to be 5-11 or 6-10 or 7-9 like Jack says.
We're by 11-5.
I'm probably trending off of 11 wins at this point, Ike.
Okay. What made you change that?
Sunday, Sunday, and the rest of the schedule and everything else. But I'm definitely more worried about Carson, and here's why. You know, do I expect him to bounce back at some point? Yes, yes, I do, but. The same things that we talk about for the last however many years are the same things that he's been doing, which is holding the ball, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just not sure that he sees it, right? Like, the whole thing with Mike Groh being out of here and Press Taylor's back and that's his buddy. Like, does Carson Wentz want to be coached? Does Carson Wentz want to hear what he's done wrong and what he needs to change, right? I'm not sure that he sees it, and I'm not sure that he's ready to change. Right? Like Carson Wentz, even when he says, I know I got to throw the ball away, he kind of talks around to say, well, I'm still trying to make a big play. Mm-hmm. So I believe the mentality for Carson is like, yeah, I know I'm getting sacks, but look at the plays that I make when I do hold on to the ball sometimes. Right? And here's the other thing, right? That was a game that if the quarterback plays better, and I know the offensive line was bad, but it wasn't all about the offensive line. If he plays better, they win that game. And this is a season you got to win games, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one win that you could have had in a season where maybe that's the determination between winning the division and not winning the division. Quarterbacks win games. And if Carson plays better on Sunday, they win. The pressure got to him, right?
No.
If the conditions aren't ideal.
Well, I mean, yeah, literally the pressure did get to him like 14 times, yeah.
The pressure got to him. It did.
Yeah, literally. And I'm not sacked 8 times.
But I'm not just talking about that pressure.
I know you're not.
If conditions.
So I want you to define what type of pressure you're talking about.
When things aren't ideal.
Oh, okay.
And things were not ideal.
So he crumbled under pressure.
On Sunday. Well, I don't think he responded well to the pressure, right?
Well, that's for sure.
The accuracy stuff is still all there. All the things, all the question marks that we had about Carson Wentz are still there for me, and it's year 5. So if I'm answering the question, what are you more concerned about for the rest of the season? It's not Doug. It's Carson Wentz because he's the quarterback.
Yeah. I know. I hear you. But you're going off a track record. You're going off of what you've seen from a ceiling from a player. In other words, what the guy has shown you he has the ability to do. Like that. At least that's what I'm going off of. And I'm much like you – that the season isn't over with yet. They're 0-1. I don't feel good after what I saw Sunday. They have an opportunity coming up this Sunday against Los Angeles to change a lot of the feelings that are permeating throughout the Delaware Valley now as it pertains to this team. But here's what I would tell you that has me concerned. That has me concerned. And not so much that I don't believe Doug can coach, because I do believe he's a very good coach. But there's also a thing called being a victim of your own success. And we can actually say all three, other than the owner, because he would be included in this four, but all three of the decision makers, the most impactful people in that organization, Howie, Doug, and Carson, seems to be victims of their own success. That's what I see that's going on. And one is the head of the organization and one is the head coach. The player is going to be the player. Like, he will eventually get to where you want him to get to, but you got to work with him. And here's what I mean by that. Here's what I mean by that. You think Carson doesn't know that he tried to do too much Sunday? See, with great athletes, there's always that balance. Not that I would know this personally, but there's always that balance of believing in your own abilities versus knowing when to concede. Every athlete does that. Go ask Michael Jordan, who shoots 35 times. What do you think? He's shooting because he's lost his confidence? No, he believes he's going to make the next shot. He believes he's going to make the next shot. That's what great athletes do. So here's why I say it, and I say what I'm saying to say that I'm a little concerned that the coach who is in a position to have the foresight and see problems that could possibly arise in a game and you aren't ready to adjust to them. See, it's easy to say, yeah, if Carson played better Sunday, they would have won. Well, I mean, guess what? Put him in a position. Recognize what's going on out there on the field. Take the ball out of his hands a little bit. Do some other things. Right? Do some things to help with that inexperienced line up front. That all contributes in the passing game. Let's not drop back 50 times.
Yeah.
When you're down offensive linemen with inexperienced guys out there. Carson doesn't have anything to do with that. He didn't put together the game plan. He didn't decide who was going to be blocking for him. He didn't decide any of those things. And that game could have very easily been won by coaching, understanding the situations, coaching your team through that game, not putting your defense in a bad position, understanding your quarterback is inaccurate right now, throwing the ball down the field. Let's switch some things up. How soon do we see a change there? Now, remember, it took 12 weeks to see that change last year. Wasn't like they started struggling in week 10, 11, and 12. That offense had been struggling all year last year.
Till they finally made the move.
Till they made some changes.
Mm-hmm.
But it took 12 weeks. We don't have that type of time now. Carson's not going to miss. Oh, he's not going to overthrow eight guys or whatever he did yesterday, Sunday. I don't see that. We all know that he's been inaccurate in the past. We all know there's going to be one or two times a game where he sails a ball. We know that. We know that. The track record says, in the 4 years that he's played, his worst year was the year we consider to be his best year when it comes to accuracy. The other 2 years after his injury, after that year, he's gotten better with accuracy. And when you changed up the game plan and did some things to cater to him, he got even better, got much better. I didn't see that Sunday. So I'm wondering, all these new assistant coaches, all these things we're supposed to see added to the repertoire. How long does it take to implement those things? I got full confidence in Doug that he's a good coach. But like I said, we know Andy Reid's a Hall of Fame coach. He had stubborn tendencies. Coaches get stuck in their ways too. Coaches believe in their own system wholeheartedly. And don't want to change. And one thing they definitely don't want to do is be told to change. They want to do it on their own.
Yeah, which is what
They don't want to be told you need to change this, you need to change that.
Mm.
So that's where my concern would be. Carson is not going to play that bad again. Yeah, he's going to overthrow somebody. Mm. There's going to be a time he's going to hold the ball, try to make a play. Guess what? Until you get rid of him, until he's not here anymore, deal with it.
215-592-9494.
Lamar Jackson is going to take some big hits every once in a while. Deshaun Watson is going to hold on to the ball too long because he's doing twirls and loop-de-loos and trying to wait till somebody get open. Players like that are going to do that. Pat Mahomes is going to throw a no-look pass sometimes and gets intercepted in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but
it happens. Those things happen with players. Do you think the coaches want them doing that? No. No. Coach don't want Lamar Jackson taking on a linebacker. Wants him to get down.
Mm.
How many times does Lamar Jackson make a linebacker miss?
A lot.
A lot. So that's all I'm saying. Well, Carson, you got to keep coaching him. Keep coaching him. And here's one last point on this. While I'm not totally surprised at what I saw Sunday after I thought about it an extra day or two. First live action since January. You could talk all offseason about I want to do this, I'm going to do this this year, I'm going to do this this year, I'm going to do this this year. You didn't get any games to practice doing those things. You didn't get any games to actually practice throwing the ball away. So you know what happens when you get your first live action? As Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until you get hit in the mouth. And then you revert back to what you are and who you are. That's what happened Sunday.
Yeah.
First time got hit in the mouth. First time they struggled. This is what Carson knows. This is all he knows. This is what he knows. So he hasn't had to practice games to practice throwing the ball away and all that other stuff. He hasn't had to practice to do that. And that's what happened Sunday. When he got hit, he started getting hit. When they started struggling to move the ball, he went back to being Carson. When the offense didn't move, Doug went back to throw, 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 throw. Throw, 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 throw. We all got a plan until we actually are forced to put that plan into action.
Mm.
And that's what I saw Sunday. That's what I saw Sunday. It wasn't let me adjust. Again, the players don't always take the most criticism over it. But coaches are in CEO positions, right? Like you and I as on-air hosts, we can talk about things we want to do when we get on the air and how we want to handle this, this, and the other until we actually get on the air and we got to start doing the show. And then Spike's back there like, man, we just said we went boom, 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 boom.
Spike Eskin.
He's the CEO of the shows. He has to see that. And if he allows it to keep happening without addressing it, we're going to keep doing what we naturally do.
Yeah.
That's what you saw out of the player Sunday. The coach, he's in that position that he's supposed to have more intel, more wherewithal, more foresight to be able to help the player out. That's what the coaches are supposed to do.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like that a lot of times a quarterback needs to sometimes overcome their coach, right? Like overcome, for instance, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, was necessarily a great coach or a great play caller for him for a number of years. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers overcame that and won games based on his skill and his talent. Russell Wilson, same thing, right? Like he's winning. Is that a great offense? Is that great coaching? Is that great play calling? No, it's.
Oh, sure it is.
I mean, it's great.
Darrell Bevell has something to do with that.
I mean, he's not even there anymore. I don't even know. 215-592-9494.
That's not all Russell.
Well, I mean, but a lot of it is, right? Like Carson, I get it. Doug did not have a good – Doug had a
and by the way,
Ryan
game.
Schottenheimer, by the way.
Yeah,
by the way, Russell was in his, what, ninth year?
Okay, well, Carson's in his fifth, you know?
Well,
like,
Russell wasn't – he wasn't doing that in his fifth year.
Okay. 215-592-9494. I just, like – I got to see some progress with Carson Wentz as far as some of the things that he's doing wrong to
so
go from
– one game.
Okay, one game.
Well, you're going to see progress.
All right. Marks and Reese, we'll come back. A lot going on the show today. Open up the phone lines coming up next. Who are you more worried about for the rest of this season? Doug and Carson both had bad performances on Sunday. Is it Doug or Carson? Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Back with your phone calls after this.
Hey, if you're in the market for a new Acura, you have to visit my guys over at Elite Acura. And if you've been waiting for the perfect opportunity, there's never been a better time than right now. Now, during their Rake in the Savings event, shop and save big on your favorite new pre-owned and certified pre-owned Acuras like a 2020 RDX, SH, SUV, all-wheel drive. Now I got the RDX too, man. I need to head over there and grab one of those. Save up to $91.95 off MSRP when you purchase after leasing for $369 a month. That's right. Save up to $91.95 off MSRP. Plus, all their certified pre-owned vehicles have passed a comprehensive 182-point inspection by their outstanding factory-trained technicians. I'm talking about huge savings, huge inventory, tons of vehicles to choose from. Experience the difference an exceptionally priced brand new Acura can make at Elite Acura, home of the Elite Advantage. Make sure you visit them today on Route 73 North in Maple Shade. Just look for the billboard. You can't miss it. Or check them out online anytime at EliteAcura.com.
Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're thinking of getting engaged, you have to visit Mark's Jewelers and their 25,000 square foot showroom online, marks-jewelers.com. Who are you more worried about? Carson Wentz? Doug Peterson? Or how about neither, Ike Reese? Jack Fritz allowed for a third question in there.
Yeah, I think that's it's a good question to have a third option. I mean, there may be some people out there that aren't worried about either guy.
So you approve of today's Twitter question?
I do. Okay. I do. I approve.
Tom from Abington actually said that I must have been responsible for the question, because it's actually right. It's worded correct. There's good choices.
No, Tom said two times must have written that, which
Ike
is two times. You're flip-flop. I'm John Fritz.
John Fritz.
Thanks for clearing that up for
and
us.
And by the way, Ike, when we're discussing the question, did say we should have a not worried about either. And right now, 27% aren't worried about either.
Yeah, see, I mean, I told you, when you guys really allow me to have input on the Twitter question, it seems to come out right.
Does today's meeting count as a players-only meeting? Did we have a players-only meeting about
today it was a players-only meeting. Yes.
Twitter question.
As far as I'm concerned, you can certainly have more control over the Twitter
no,
question.
No, I don't want more control.
No, you can. You can. Just like in the NFL when the coach wants control over personnel, Ike, I put you in control of the Twitter question. All right? But Carson's winning right now. We have about 600 votes. 44% more people are worried about Carson. And here's why and we'll go right to the phones. And here's why I'll say Carson as well. Because I think that quarterback play can overcome Doug on Sunday, right? Like, there's always so much a quarterback can overcome on certain weeks. And the offensive line and Doug, right? Like, that was – we know that all three of them didn't have a good week. But for the most part, if Carson's play is elite, then they can win games that maybe Doug's
there's
not
no
coaching
way Carson
great.
Was going to be elite with this offensive line like this and rookie wide receivers and DeSean Jackson on a pitch count and Zach Ertz out here complaining, throwing his arms
oh,
up.
Oh, boy.
Like, how the hell was he going to be elite Sunday?
Well, forget about elite.
Well, you said elite.
No, but you should have still won the game. Like I that is – Sunday is on Carson 100%. 100%. You got to win that game. That's on him.
I disagree.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have Tom in Vancouver. Tom, what's up, man? Listening on the radio.com.
Hey.
What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
How are you?
Fine, thank you very much. So, you know, I've been listening to this while I'm in this haze of smog from all these fires coming up from California and the Northwest.
Oh, man, and, be safe out there.
Oh, it's brutal. All the windows are closed and everything. Can't even run the air conditioning because we don't want any bad air coming in from the outside. And, you know, so I didn't have the game to give me any great comfort on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And I agree that, you know, both Doug and Carson have been bad. The question is who can turn it around faster. None of us know for sure. But like John, my concern about Carson is his stubbornness. I think, Ike, though, you made some excellent points. And we all know about his physical issues. But, you know, with his mental state, we saw an incredible series of performances at the end of last season. But it seems that he seems to struggle. When he starts struggling, it seems to really affect him, and it takes him a while to turn it around. And I'm wondering if so much of this was game plan, what is the role of audibles? Is that a more tactical thing? So Carson couldn't have really adjusted in game because that was Doug's responsibility at more of a strategic game plan level?
Yeah, I mean, the whole audible thing, I think they tried it at times. Sometimes it worked. You know, just talking with Trey yesterday, I mean, you had mix-ups on the offensive line. Was the protection set the right way? You had young guys out there. Those are things that happen. the interceptions, the missed deep ball that Jalen Reagor said himself he slowed down in the middle of a route on that deep ball that Carson put out there. You know, these are things that a team that has no preseason games and have only had 4 weeks to practice together, half of those weeks in shorts in a jersey with a helmet, not even really in pads and live action. Sunday was their first time out there in live action. And for players, you can do all that mirror stuff in practice and have success and look good until you get your butt out there in the game. And you got somebody out there that's trying to stop you from doing what you want to do. That's when the real rubber hits the road. And that's what I chalk up Carson's performance to Sunday. Game plan wise, that had nothing to do with lack of preparation, lack of practice. I mean, game plan wise is what you set forth as these are our best plays going into this game. Considering our personnel, considering what we do best, considering what our quarterback does best, this is the game plan from an offensive standpoint. And then when things started to slow down, it wasn't adjustment time. It was put your foot down on the gas. Let's keep going.
Keep going. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. When you're dialing up plays like that, how is the quarterback all of a sudden going to dial back his aggressiveness?
Mm-hmm.
When you're calling for shots down the field, seven-step drops, how's the quarterback all of a sudden going to go to Charlie Checkdown when he's never been that? You got to call those plays. You got to call those plays when you want the ball out of his hands quick. When you're calling aggressive plays for shots down the field, you're playing to his appetite. That's what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what they kept calling.
Right, but like on the first interception, Doug even said that, well, he didn't have to go there with the ball. So, I mean, listen.
I didn't say everything Carson did was correct. That's not what I said. Mm-hmm. We know that wasn't a good throw. We know he held on to the ball at times too long. I'm telling you that the game plan allowed for that stuff to happen.
Mm. Well, I mean, listen, no one's saying that Doug had a good day. He didn't, right? He didn't. But Carson also.
You got to change the offense, man. Listen. Why not build off of what you did the last 4 weeks?
So can we play the answer?
Why not build off of that?
I agree, and I think most Eagles fans would agree.
Okay.
Doug was asked about it today. Do you have it, Jack? Go ahead.
Hey, Doug. Carson was dealing with a lower body injury before the start of the regular season. I was curious if that impacted your play calling at all in terms of moving him outside the pocket.
No.
To follow up on that, Doug, why then, you know, didn't we see Carson Wentz moved out as much? I mean, he had a lot of success seemingly doing that at the end of last year. And going back to watching in week one, it didn't seem like he really was out of the pocket as much. Is that something we can expect to see moving forward?
Yeah. You know, I'd love to be able to sit down and kind of maybe show you guys game film and study the tape and talk about scheme and all that kind of stuff. And there's opportunity. Carson's a great out-of-the-pocket thrower. We understand that. Excuse me. But when we have 13 snaps that are second down and 7+, we didn't do a very good job on first down, whether we're running or passing the football. You know, and so, you know, utilizing an out-of-the-pocket throw, a movement-type throw, when it's second and 13 – you know, I don't know. Maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't. But I think you have to, you know, push the ball differently down the field, drop back, play action, whatever it might be, screen. You know, but you just can't listen. It everything we do, you know, obviously it starts with first down, and if you're not positive on first down, it affects what you do on second down, and obviously then it affects you on third or fourth down. So. I would love to, you know, have Carson out of the pocket more. He is dynamic outside the pocket, great vision and all of that. But again, we've got to do a better job on first down in order for a lot of those plays to take place.
I mean, so you have to have success on first down to roll Carson, to move him out of the pocket when your offensive line's struggling, and that's what you should be doing anyway. Like, Ike, listen, you're the former player. I'm sure there's something to what Doug is saying right there, but that just doesn't make any sense to me. So there's not anything that he's saying right there. And it was a little bit I like irritated Doug too, where he said, "Well, I'd love to sit down with you and watch the film, but like, so it, yeah, it's second and long because what you're doing on first down doesn't work. So you're going to go back to the same thing that didn't work on first down and try to get on second down? I just don't understand that."
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you. Yeah.
Are they not allowed to move him out of the pocket on second and third down?
Doesn't make any sense.
Excuse me.
Listen, I'm telling you, man, it's as simple as this for me. We know that when Carson is playing the game from the pocket, the majority of the game, throws will be off
target.
He's
at his worst, yes.
Throws will be off target. That's when you're going to get inaccuracies. You're going to get those. We've seen this for 4 years. So forget about us on the outside. The coaches have to recognize this. The coaches have to say, okay, it's not that he can't do it. It's just not his strength. So why do I want the majority of the throws to be from this variety of plays?
Well, almost every throw.
Yeah, that's what I'm – yeah, that's like, the point
like,
I'm making.
Like so, everything.
Yeah, that's my point. So if you – why wouldn't you, after having the entire offseason and the assistant coaches that you brought in that's supposed to add new seasoning and flavor to the offense, why not build – off of what he was doing the last four games of the season, last five games of the season, because it really started in that Miami game. Why not build off of that?
Is he not – like you had mentioned yesterday that perhaps that because they didn't have games, because they didn't have a lot of practice time together with it, he was trying to keep it basic and he wasn't trying to add any new wrinkles into the offense. You brought in – he has 14 assistant coaches on his offensive assistant coaches. You would hope that you would have something a little bit more creative than what they gave on Sunday. I don't know. I mean, is this Doug saying I'm running my offense and I don't care who you're going to bring in to try to change my offense? I'm running my offense?
Let me tell you another reason why the game plan Sunday was a little bit concerning. You got new staff members. You just mentioned Rich Scangarella, Marty Morningwig. Other guys there, Aaron Moorhead. You brought guys in, right? You got this offseason. Now, Doug's the only coach in the division that isn't new. He's in 4 years here. Ron Rivera played against him down in – he's played against him twice. Played against Doug Peterson twice, I believe. Once in Carolina, once here. They won down there. Carolina won up here. Here's why I'm bringing that up. You have an opportunity – to run stuff they never seen before. If I'm Ron Rivera and I'm looking at film to try to figure out how do I game plan against the Eagles, what game plans am I going to? What film am I going to? The ones that I've had success against him. I'm going to look back at the offenses that I faced when I played against him. So you came in with that offense. You made it easy for Rivera and Jack Del Rio when you had an opportunity to show them something they haven't seen with new assistants. This would have been the game to do it. They don't have anything on film. This is the time you take advantage of having new voices, new ideas, because no one has seen it, not even in the preseason. No one has seen anything you've worked on this offseason, anything you plan to do this offseason. The first game of the season is the opportunity to take advantage of the element of surprise. And Sunday, there was no element of surprise. And Washington set back the first few series to see exactly, we see how they're going to attack us. You got to know, Jack Del Rio is saying, listen, make sure you aim for the middle part of his body because he likes to duck under rushers. Got a full film, got a whole, let me tell you, this is what defensive coordinators do. We have a whole quarterback scrambling reel for you to watch a Carson Wentz. Look how he escapes. Look what he likes to do when he's avoiding the rush. These are the things you got to be aware of when you get in the backfield. He doesn't go down easy. You got to wrap him up. Right? He's not going to outrun you, but he will try to duck under you and still stand in the pocket. Swipe for the ball. These are the things that Jack Del Rio is telling his defensive linemen. They have inexperienced old linemen. We're going to send extra blitzers. Let's see what their communication is like. Let's see if they're all in sync. And we're going to keep attacking him. And this kid is stubborn as a mule. Pun intended. So we know he's going to hold the ball and try to make plays.
And he did. Yeah.
Yeah, but you didn't take him out of things. How about shrink the field? Give him half the field. Roll him out. Throw some throwback screens. It's all type of different stuff you could have done that they wouldn't have prepared for. That's where your coaches come in at. You went out there running the same offense you're used to running.
That they're used to seeing.
That everybody has seen for 5 years now. You're going into the fifth season. It is what, and that's where you got to say, man, what's going on? Why weren't there new wrinkles to the offense? Why was DeSean Jackson on a pitch count? By the way, not at practice today. Scheduled day off. Rest day. Yeah, let's rest him Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday if you want to. I don't care if he doesn't do anything in practice. On Sunday ain't the day to rest. This is not that type of situation. You got rookie receivers out there that Carson has never worked with. And they become the focal point of the game plan with Dallas Goedert? You mean to tell me DeSean Jackson wasn't a big part of your passing game plan?
Not at all.
How is that possible? He's the best receiver on the team. He's on a pitch count? How is that possible?
215-592-9494.
You basically went into the game saying, well, we're not going to use our best receiver that much.
So then we're not going to create a game plan around him.
The one guy that scares every defense on your team. How is that?
He's standing on the sideline.
How is that?
I don't know.
If you're going to rest him during the week. Rest him on Sunday. You rest him to get him prepared to play every snap out there that he can play.
All right, we'll come back with your phone calls.
And by the way, forget playing every snap. How about making him a focal point? Let's get him the ball.
I just mentioned DeSean not practicing today. On the other side, we'll tell you some good news about who was practicing today, give you an injury update. That's coming up next.
We got to get it together, guys.
Yeah, man.
Sunday, 0-2 staring me right in the face.
Well, Jack already said it's a lock that they win Sunday.
Oh, so. there's no doubt.
Okay. Marks and Reese. So Phillies win last night. Larry Anderson is coming up at 3 o'clock. There might be some moves with the Phillies coming up as well. And then Baldy's going to join us at 4 o'clock. Baldy, I mean, if Trey examines the tape many times over, Baldy kind of does the autopsy of everything, right? So Baldy has went over everything. His breakdowns are on Twitter. He'll talk to us about the offensive line play and everything else that he saw on Sunday. So Baldy at 4 o'clock, Larry Anderson with Phillies coming up at 3 o'clock. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Practice update. Who is out there? It's good news, Eagles fans. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, by now you probably heard about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino's world-class sports betting app. Now, FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. They've got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere, constant enhanced odds boost, and they even get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Now, there's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook, but here's two more for you. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. Now, no need to thank me. I'll pat myself on the back. Gave you two winners yesterday, both underdogs. Hell, forget about covering. They won outright Denver and Miami in the NBA yesterday. Thank me later or put the card in the mail with a cashier's check. I got another one for you tonight. 7.5 over under New York and Philadelphia. Guess what? I'm going over 7.5 tonight. I mean, man, Mr. Fingernail, I don't know what he's going to look like tonight. I'd say there may be some runs put on the board. Now, you can go see for yourself why FanDuel is the number one sportsbook app. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code Ike so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Ike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.